Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Arrow After Show.
I had to give you guys a moment just to let the song...
Shh, Alicona.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Can I start the show now?
Play this as long as you can.
Okay, well, we'll keep playing this, but welcome to AfterBuzz TV, everybody. Thank you for watching. Here I am with the lovely Mike Mowgli, who's whispering the words to the song. I'm here to break down the Arrow After Show, and of course, a very tragic episode, hence the Titanic song that we are playing right now. But anyway, introduce yourself, please.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Really?
My name's Mowgli.
Okay, apparently I am just way too chipper for this after show. I should be slow and sad.
Listen, guys, I got a confession to make. Okay. Slade Wilson is not our friend anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, he hasn't been my friend for a very long time.
I had my thoughts. I thought he would come around.
Yeah, no.
I'd kill myself if I saw him now.
Let's talk. Let's rewind.
Sorry.
Let's start from the beginning of the show.
It's not
right.
Really,
let's start with Roy, yeah, because we start off with him on the table.
Yeah, you're right.
Quiet as can be, he's sleeping like a little baby.
God, I gotta
like
come
a little
up.
Baby.
All right.
Okay, and disappears out of nowhere.
Right.
Okay, Roy to me, we know he's on the Mirakuru, but it's like a whole nother level of Mirakuru, right? Because not only is he strong, but he's strong and he's lost his mind right away.
Right.
You know, I feel like Slade slowly loses his mind. And even though he's losing his mind, he still has some sort of sense of what's going on, right?
Right.
That's how he's able to mastermind all these tricky plans. But Roy is just like gone off the deep end.
Absolutely.
So what do you think about, like, would you save Roy in this predicament, in this whole show situation?
I don't know. I said it from the beginning. I was always in love with her and that she was beautiful.
Wait, her? I'm talking about Roy. Where
you
are
what?
You right now in
Let
this
it
show?
Go. Let it
what?
Go.
Mike. What?
All right, guys, I'm getting in the game right now. We'll talk about it when the time's right. This is a very disappointing episode for me. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to really be in the right zone right now.
Okay.
It's just a tough day.
I'll let you mourn your loss.
No, it's cool. But you know what? I'm going to be honest. Let's just get to that when we get to that. I'm going to lock it up and I'm going to isolate it. And
okay.
I'm going to just focus on the issue at hand right now.
Okay.
And
the issue's Roy.
Roy is disappointing right now.
Very
disappointing.
Very.
You know,
here's the thing. Well, the very, very beginning scene, right? He goes rampaging through the club, and I'm thinking, here comes Diggle with this gun. Out of my way! Da, 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 da. I don't know why the first thought I thought was, I don't know what I would do if I was in a club and someone came running through with a gun.
Yeah.
You don't know he's got good intentions and he's that one of the good guys.
Yep, absolutely.
So I was really shocked that he was so quick to pull his gun out and just flash it around.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. But he's also now watching Thea throughout this whole entire episode, unbeknownst to her as to why.
Right.
Right? Did it bother you at all that Diggle's following her around?
No, not at all. I liked where Diggle's head's at. This entire episode, Diggle had to deal with a lot of different problems that probably would have stressed anybody out. And he suffered the most, I think, out of anyone in this episode. As
physically?
Far as getting physically beat up by Roy. You know what I mean? He got hit in the face with, like,
one of those poles,
yeah,
right?
Those things are heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, the only two things that seemed a little unrealistic with Roy's strength right now, because I think talking about Roy is a huge part of this episode.
Yeah, let's just talk about
him. Yeah, and I think that, one, when he hit Sin in the face, it really didn't work for me. Her black eye, He could throw a car over, you know what I mean? So how is he only giving her a black eye?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't know. Resistance? See, and that's the thing too, right? Mm-hmm. There's this level of us thinking that he has no conscience because he's just terrorizing everybody without any disregard. But when it comes to her, he just punches her in the eye, whereas right. everybody else, he's breaking arms and knees and everything else.
Right.
So I don't know if somewhere in the back of his brain, when somebody he cares about is talking to him and trying to talk sense in him, he can hold back a little bit, but not all the way.
It doesn't really make sense if that's the case, because then, I mean, he choked. I mean, he literally choked Myra, not Myra, sorry. He literally choked
Thea.
Thea, Queen. And to me, that's shows a lack of control that shouldn't have any boundaries. Like with Diggle, I'm surprised he didn't break his whole face when he hit him with that thing.
Okay, how did Diggle only have a little Band-Aid on his head when he straight got knocked out? Like, he should have a concussion at this point.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
I was so surprised. I didn't even think it was Diggle when he hit him. I was like, was that? I was like, oh my God. Because it was just so hard. It should have been over. But at the same time, I guess, like, he did say, and Roy did say, like, kill me, like, asking him to shoot him.
But at that point, so, after he was injured, it's like he was out of his trance, because I feel like he was a zombie for the most part.
Yeah, it's really weird to see how the effects of the mirror crew. All right, number one, I would never take mirror crew. I know in, like, an earlier episode, I said I would take the mirror, and I totally, absolutely
take
don't
it back
want
now.
It. I would never take it. They have definitely shown the effects in a way that seem much more traumatic than what we originally thought.
Right.
We thought it was a wonder drug that makes you insanely powerful and then gives you slight hallucinations.
It gives you some big time hallucinations.
Right. Well, I mean, based on what we see with like someone like Slade, we don't know that those hallucinations are going to be the same. We think that's like the extent of it, right?
Right.
But it's obviously gone a lot further than that.
I was going to say, at one point we also saw that there was a hallucination with Roy, right? Because he was seeing Thea say, kill me, it's my fault. And, you know, it was a cry for help and this and that and whatever.
Right.
And honestly, when I first watched that scene, I thought it was really happening up until she disappeared into thin air. And I'm like, oh God. Okay, now he's coming for Thea.
No, I definitely knew that it was something in his mind, because it didn't make sense that she would just be standing there like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But what is kind of crazy is that we don't know if this is just the effects of the Mira, or also I guess it's really important to take into consideration he was in a laboratory supplying his blood to a bunch of other people.
Right.
I mean, he's got to be anemic in some way or another.
That's the thing is, you would think because he's distributing so much of his blood that he would be the weakest of all the soldiers.
Right.
So if that's weak, holy cow.
Or he's in even like a state of like hypoxia, you know, like lacking the ability to have enough oxygen to operate properly. So basically he's just like,
because we all knew what hypoxia meant, right?
Hypoxia. But the reason being is just simply that he's not getting enough oxygen. He's almost in like a trance state, like almost like a mummy, you know?
Yeah.
Did you hear about that little kid that got caught in landing gear of a plane?
No.
And he flew to Hawaii in it. And
what?
He put himself into like a lower state of being. Like he just lived through it because he was able to be at altitudes of like over 50,000 feet. And he was able to stay alive because his body put him into a state of like trance and slept.
What?
Yeah, he's definitely gonna have some significant brain damage. But in Roy's case, with the amount of blood the machines he's hooked up to, and we both know that, we all know that, with the Mira, that you have to have a, what is it? You have to have like a, what is it? You know, you have to have like a secondary agent to administer it.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're putting all those other chemicals into the equation with him, then you're gonna find yourself in a bad spot. You know what I mean? Like, you could easily see that all of this is not necessarily Roy's fault. Maybe it's also the effect of the different chemicals that are in him.
Right.
God damn it. I put everyone to sleep again with this.
Did you catch when Sin was talking to Sarah about Roy, and she said, because Sin knows a little bit about what's going on, right? She was present, and I forgot about this, but she was present when, back in the day, the first time he was, he was only injected once, sorry. But the first time he was injected with the Mirakuru in general, she came to Sarah and said, you know, he had this drug, it's been affecting him, and it's like he has comic book strength. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear that.
I thought that was interesting that they put that little reference
in
there.
Yeah, that was kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Comic book strength, like superhero strength. Like, it's the same thing. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
It's believable, too, that she said it like that.
Yeah.
In fact, I found Sin to be a very believable character this episode, with her appreciation and love for Roy, and her appreciation and love for the Canary. But I definitely felt as if... I don't know. I just felt like she should have suffered and been injured more greatly by that.
Why?
Punch. Because that wasn't a light punch.
It wasn't a punch, though. It was an open-handed, like, backhanded.
Oh, was it? It was open-handed?
I think he just whacked her out of the way.
Oh, okay.
I don't think. Slap. Yeah, I don't think he closed fist hit her in the face.
Well,
I didn't
good
see
to know
that.
Then. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. That's
he's
really,
a he's a gentleman.
Yeah, gentleman accepts it. Yeah, yeah.
Totally kidding.
He pimp slaps.
Totally kidding. But you know what I can appreciate about Sin is even though he's going through all this stuff, she knows that that's not the Roy that she knows. It's not her friend, so she's willing to sit there and protect him, even though he's being something he's not, right? And
right.
At one point, not to jump ahead, but just to say, you know, she was willing to stand between a gun and mm-hmm. him when right. Sarah wanted to shoot him. And it's like the dagger to the heart is when she had said to Sarah,
right.
You know, Sarah's like, oh, that's so brave that you did that. And she's like, well, you're not a killer. I knew you weren't going to do anything.
Right.
Yeah. Right after Sarah finished friggin' breaking up with Oliver because yeah. she felt like I am a killer.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally think that. It shows how innocent Sin is and how little she knows about what's going on.
Of course.
And although she thinks she's so well informed, she really.
But I mean,
she
she's looked up to Sarah. If you really going back through the history, Sarah's the one who took care of her after her father passed away. You know, we found that out in one of the island scenes in the past. She came right. home and took care of this guy's daughter and was a big sister to her. So, of course, when you look up to somebody, you're never going to think the worst of them.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, definitely. What did you think about Moira getting ahead of Alderman in the election? Did you think that made sense that she was like the popular vote?
Yeah, you know, I feel like she's just been more present, and it could be just the way that Arrow has displayed it, but I feel like she has just been more present, and that's why people.
Oh my god,
I'm
talking about her in the present tense. Oh,
We're not there yet. But you
this
know, one of the constant themes, because at first we had a flashback, and it wasn't an island flashback, it was a Oliver and family flashback, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. But the constant theme that they really wanted to push tonight was the fact that Moira, even though she's done bad things, she is so down for her family. She might have a twisted way of doing it, but she is down for her family.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
and going into that flashback when Oliver talks about the fact that he had gotten somebody pregnant, honestly, I thought it was Sarah. At first.
Did you really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Why would you think that? Because he was with Sarah and...
No, he was with Laurel.
Oh, sorry. He was with Laurel.
Yeah, sorry.
Sarah could have been.
Yeah. So when it was some other girl, and as soon as Moira invited the girl over, I'm like, watch.
She was really pretty, though.
Oh, yeah. She looked fantastic. Yeah. She looked really pretty. But I was going to say, I knew she was going to offer that girl money. To the extent, I didn't know. But I knew she was going to either threaten her... Or she was going to offer money. And she presented it so well, too. You know, my investigators have done a background check on you. And the girl's like, yeah, okay, so. Yeah,
well,
I don't want
question.
Your money.
Here's a question. You guys can tweet at us or you can do comments on YouTube. Would you, for $2 million, leave and go back to your city?
You know, it's funny. I'm sorry. Somebody just tweeted about that comic book strong, what I thought about it.
Nice.
I don't know. I thought it was a cool reference, to be honest with you.
There's a lot of tweets coming
But, you know, and you guys are going to hate me, but... $2 million, if you're thinking about it from the stance of what you can now provide your child that you may not be able to provide without that $2 million, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
Because your kid, if you are a non-selfish mother, you can now put your kid in private school. You can afford the most amazing college education. They can have a wonderful life and travel and see the world or whatever. Is it worth it to you? You know,
it's tough to say. It's really tough to say. I honestly felt like... seeing everything that Oliver has gone through and what it's like to be a part of that family, if I had known that, I definitely would say that she made the better choice, obviously, leaving mm-hmm. and taking the money. But at the same time, it just shows that Oliver's mom, since the beginning, before any of this stuff was involved, before like this machine and destroying mm-hmm. the city, she has always had these underhanded, sneaky ways mm-hmm. of doing things mm-hmm. that has literally had ramifications that have gone all the way up to even to the point where she's at now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
You know, and I don't necessarily agree with the approach that she handles these situations. However, I will say, you know, in her defense, it's always for the greater good or what she feels is the greater good for her children.
Right.
And if that means paying some girl off so that she doesn't make your son look bad and have to, you know, break up his relationship with Laurel and this, that, and whatever because he's doing things he shouldn't, then mm-hmm. so be it. I'm going to do what I have to do.
But on a positive note, we know that this kid obviously is born.
He
obviously has been born.
Yeah.
And I guess if Oliver was on the island for 4 years or 5 years, pardon me, the kid would have to be somewhere around, like, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because somebody had tweeted, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I lost your tweet, but I know you tweeted that you were thinking that Roy was Oliver's son. And one of the things I did think was, Roy's a little bit too old, I think, to be Oliver's son. And I think that six or seven gauge is about right, because it's right before he disappears on the island. No more than, I'd say, about 7 years old. Now, this leaves a window of opportunity for this child, obviously, to come back. So, I don't know. That is definitely a possibility. We could talk about that in predictions.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth it. And I'll also say that I think that a valid point to say here is that... Sorry, I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm reading so many tweets right now, I'm getting lost.
We love it. It's awesome. Thank
you. I'm like,
you.
Fudge. I'm trying to like keep up with them and stuff like that. But I think that a good point is that this could be Oliver's second arrow. Because the reality is the arrow can't be the same person for all the time. So this son of his could be the kid arrow.
It's possible. That's in the very far future.
Maybe. Maybe not. Depending on how fast the seasons go. People are dying left and right now. We might need the kid by the time he's 13.
You know, one of the things she says in the flashback, though, and it is relevant later on because obviously the flashbacks happen throughout the show. I just like to cover different sections all at once and just get it out of the way. Right. So one of the things that she says, is to, you know, to Oliver is, "You're never without me, my beautiful baby boy," or "my beautiful boy," excuse me. Don't want to misquote her. And I mean, that was obviously said for a reason and put in the place it was put in the show, but... Again, it just shows to me how dedicated of a mother she is. And she was willing to drop out of that election just so she could spend more time with Thea.
Right.
And I love that Oliver interjected and said, "You know, Mom, she doesn't like you, not because you're not spending time with her, but because of all the terrible things that you've done. So why not?
Right.
You know, run this election, make the city better, show her that you care about somebody other than yourself and that you can make things great. Then she'll come around."
Right.
So I love that he did that.
You know, it was really good to see the amount of support, and obviously they wrote it this way on purpose, but the amount of support that Oliver and his sister was giving to their mom, obviously, I'm so flustered, but the amount of support that Oliver and Thea was giving to their mom, Moira Queen, was probably the biggest switch up in this episode, other than Roy's, tantrum.
You know?
To see them be so supportive and try to back their mother up and see Thea get up on stage and talk on her behalf and for them to have an entire event at Verdant, it was like such an interesting, eclectic mix of family coming together that it just heightened and really, I mean, I guess it was a culmination, but I didn't expect it to culminate to like that point. You know what I mean? But it really was really great to see their family be together one last time like that.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing. Even though Thea was willing to go on stage and show face and what have you, as soon as she got off stage, she was being a B-I-T-C-H. Like, this whole episode, I kept thinking, like, we know you're mad. You're the angry teenager. We understand that. But she was just ruthless with her anger.
Mm-hmm.
Not that she doesn't have a right to be, but golly, geez. And it bit her in the end.
Right,
it bit her in the butt.
I mean,
we won't talk. We won't go there just yet. But it's just.
You shouldn't be afraid to go there, just because normally, it's kind of. It's not like any episode we're doing. We should wait and we should try to like let the big parts be the last part so that it ends well. But something this big, there's no way around it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's like talking about like. I mean, even like that's like it's just so big. It's so big, and the acting was so good, and the way that ended left us with the ability to even see. As SpongeBob was saying, like, that we could have had this as a season finale.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to be hard to sleep tonight. Even listening to that song, I wasn't thinking about Rose and Jack. I was thinking about Moira Queen and her children.
Right.
You know, like, it was just so sad. She started with us from season one. She started with us from the beginning.
Yeah.
She's been with us this whole time. She's been there through everything with us.
Right.
And she's such a pivotal and amazing artist and amazing actress. To see her go like that is just so hard to – it's like, why wait? You know?
Right. Well, you know, and here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about Arrow. And I think that you had said it to Katie Lotz, and she had brought up the fact that even though you die on Arrow, you don't die because you can always come back.
Right.
So I feel like they'll still use Moira in a flashback or two. Mm-hmm. They have to.
Oh, of course. And not to mention, we don't even know what's going on or how far. We haven't even seen Moira give the other $1 million over. And obviously, that's her first grandson.
Right.
Her granddaughter. We don't know.
Do we?
No.
No, we don't know yet.
Sorry to do that.
Somebody did mention a grandson, though. So
everyone's going to mention grandson. It just makes sense that, you know, Oliver would have made a boy versus a girl based on, like, what the storyline would have to be. But to be non-partial, it could be a female.
Yeah.
But the fact, you know.
We know it's a boy, though.
Yeah. But I will say that based on what's happening right now in season two, season three is going to have to be. They're taking it such a point of low, and they're having so many different things going on right now. This has redefined every single character.
Yeah.
It redefines who Diggle's going to be for the future. It redefines Sarah, who she's going to be for the future, who I thought was gone for sure. It's redefined who Thea's going to be for the future. It's redefined who Felicity will be for the future and Roy.
Right.
Roy killed two cops.
Yeah.
In cold blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But again, I think we found a really good rationale to him doing that where we can forgive him.
I'm going to say my phone just died, so at him. I'll read your tweets later. But we did get a tweet, and you know what? Here's the thing. It is a son.
Right.
His name is Connor Hawk. And eventually in the comic book, what happens is that the Green Arrow, when he passes away, his son Connor becomes the Arrow. So thank you so much. And I'm so sorry your tweet died.
Yeah.
If you guys can't give you credit.
And if you guys want to tweet at me, honestly, I would love to have your tweet, your Twitter, your following. I'd love to have your whatever your, I don't know what you say. I would love to have you following. So again, you can find me at M Mowgli, capital M O W G A L I. It's two M's, O W G A L I. I'd love to read your tweets. I'm reading them right now. It's going great. But getting back to the episode, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, you want to start getting into the whole Moira situation. We were just leading up to it, basically just talking about how this theme was about how she is so down for her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then this episode was so twisted. I didn't see it go in this direction. We knew someone was going to die just because people were tweeting hashtag
RIP. Did you think someone was going to die this soon, or did you think it was going to be a finale?
I didn't think they were going to die this soon, but again, like I said, somebody spoiled and tweeted at me. They didn't tell me who, but they told me that someone was passing, so I went, oh gosh. But I did not think it was A, Moira.
Right.
B, I think Slade has really lost it at this point. Like, to recreate the same situation just to see Oliver squirm and for him to be like, you know, he just reenact, like, is this what it looked like when you had the pick between Sarah and Shadow and choose and... You're psycho. Yeah.
But I mean, we do realize that Tommy dying propelled Oliver into the second season of Arrow to have a very definite agenda. And that we also saw that Laurel was propelled into season two into a drug addiction.
Right.
So where is it going to propel a broken Arrow at the death of his mother? Where is this going to propel him to for in the last three episodes?
I don't know.
Great answer.
Yeah. Sorry. But you know, no, I'm still stuck on the whole scene, to be honest with you. The whole reveal, I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but while they're on the ground, okay, first of all, there's a car crash, and it was right when Moira was about to let out some secret, because, you know, she said, there's something Merlin that I have to tell you. I thought for sure that it was Merlin who crashed everything. So when we came back from the commercial break, and they're lying on the ground, and Slade is there, it caught me off guard. But one of the things that Moira did repeat and catch on to before she passed was, you were on the island with Oliver?
Right.
And I was like, oh. And, you know, and obviously Thea surviving this, that's got to be a question in the future for her.
And you got to realize, someone who just tried to destroy the entire city somehow is winning an election. So is it safe to say that Merlin is around? Remember what I told you? If you mess with his daughter, you're going to see him come back.
Oh, he's definitely got to come back after this.
But is it enough? Is it Malcolm Merlin and the Arrow enough?
Well, no, not even that. Is Moira enough? Moira, that's a red flag because he knows how powerful she is.
Right.
You know, so for something like that to happen to her, that's automatically like, okay, you are not that he's going into it like you're the mother of my child and I once loved you, but he's probably going to go into it like something's going down.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is enough. Is it enough if Malcolm Merlin comes back to possibly be the one that helps shift the tide of battle? Right now we're at battle. We're at war in the Arrow series.
Oh, it's going to go season two, get worse.
It's at war. Literally, you just killed my mother. You just put me in a position of absolute pain. Roy broke my leg. Roy's on the fritz. Felicity should... I feel like Felicity's the only one that went unscathed this episode.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that later. Also, too, though, one thing I didn't see coming, the whole scene in general, right? He's got the gun, and I'm thinking he's going to reenact the entire situation and shoot Moira.
Right.
And, of course... I knew, again, because this whole episode was themed around her being sacrificing for her children. Mm-hmm. As soon as Oliver is given the choice, Moira gets up and she's like, shoot me. It's me. The only, you and I, Mr. Wilson, know that the only way I will be satisfied when this is over is if I'm the one that dies.
Right.
I wouldn't be able, you know, she wouldn't be able to live with herself if her two kids, something happened to him.
Right.
But the fact that he turned around and he had a sword and stabbed her, I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy, but at the same time, I'll say that from what Katie told us when she was here, nobody really dies in Arrow. I mean, it was really cool that instead of a bullet, it was a sword, because at least it was only one stab, or did he stab her twice?
He stabbed her once, which led me to believe that maybe she could survive, but then when we saw the previews, there was a coffin there, so unless it's a fake...
Right.
You know, for Slade's benefit, but a fake funeral. Mm-hmm. She's dead. And and again, for Thea, how horrible. This whole time, you've been the biggest butthole to your mother. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I mean, I know Moira knows deep down that her daughter loves her, but to not be able to have that moment to say, Mom, I'm so sorry. I love you. I love you. Like, she didn't have that opportunity.
Right, yeah.
And that's absolutely something she's already emotionally been through so much. This is just going to drive her even more. I don't know. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, no, I definitely know what you're talking about. It's going to drive her towards a point of insanity. I mean, it's ridiculous. But at the same time, there's a lot of buzz going on right now, so I think it's important to say that with all the buzz going on as we move into season three, I think we're going to see a different turn of events for Thea. Remember, you've always talked about the fact that Oliver calls her Speedy.
Exactly.
So, now we know that, you know, the relationship between her as well as Oliver and the relationship between him and Roy is an all-time low. The idea of him becoming the Red Arrow is going to be kind of difficult right now for him to take on.
Right.
Even if he's cured and the cure does work that Felicity creates for the Mirakura, then you have to think that that needs, even if it's administered to Roy at this point, he's still killed two cops.
Yeah.
He's done some really bad stuff. It's going to be really tough for him to deal with those issues.
Right.
And without the strength to aid him, I can't imagine him being in the right position to be able to help Team Arrow to be successful, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought Roy up because I don't think we fully completed the thought as far as at the point where Sarah was ready. I want to talk about Sarah because at the very beginning, I know I just hopped. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning of the show, you know, she's in bed with Oliver and everything's hunky-dory and smoochy-smoochy and romantical.
Yeah.
And one of the things he proposes is that they get a place together.
Yeah.
And she seemed like she was ready, but at the same time, are you asking me to move in with you? And I think that got her thinking. And then come the situation with Roy where she has a gun and she is ready. They even fought about it before. She is ready to kill Roy. He is not Roy anymore.
Right.
And she made reference to the island and saying, this is the same thing that happened before.
Right.
I'm assuming when that same thing happened before, Oliver was obviously wrong. Mm-hmm. So she's pointing at the direction that you're wrong again. Let's just get rid of him.
Right.
And, of course, Oliver decides to take the better route and to trank him. And we get this whole speech about how, you know, I'm always going to be a killer. She had said something like she stared in the eyes of the devil. And for 6 years, you know, she...
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, she was trained to kill. And that piece of her hasn't left her. And it never will.
Yeah, well,
but that's also, to me, a choice.
Yeah, well, two important tweets that I just got or things that I've been thinking as well. It's really hard for me sometimes, guys, because I'm trying to think, should I wait to say some things until we're getting into our thoughts for the future and our predictions, or if I should say them now? But I guess in a situation like this, on this episode, it's better to say them now. Mm-hmm. But we did have Tracy tweeted us, and Tracy did say, Tracy Bui, B-U-I, I don't know how to pronounce that last name.
B-U-I. Bui. I don't know.
If you want to send it to us phonetically, I will say it correctly. For now, we'll call you Tracy B. But Tracy B did say, isn't it confirmed via screen captures and Twitter and writer tweets that Merlin and the League at least will be present? And here's what I really think. I think that what we saw is Sarah leaves, and Sarah sees how dire the situation is. She sees Roy on the fritz. She sees this out of control. She sees them losing their... Oliver's lost his fortune. He's lost his ability to control the situation. Mm-hmm. His mother's going after an election. Diggle got hit in the face. Everybody's in a bad position right now. Everything's turned to dust. So how can she help save the situation? She goes back to the League and recruits their help. She can save and help Oliver have the team of people necessary to save his city as well as his own life.
Right.
And to her, she cares so much about Oliver that seems like the direction she's going to go. At the same time, Malcolm Merlin is in the city, is what I believe.
Right.
I believe
she did say she said she was going to see a friend. When she left Sin and hugged her, she said, where are you going? I'm going to see a friend.
Right. So
who's the friend?
Nyssa.
Yeah, so, that, I mean, that's what I thought as well, too. But
so if it is Nyssa and she does go that direction, and if Oliver's mom was about to tell him Malcolm Merlin is here and been helping me with the election, which Oliver doesn't even know Malcolm was there. He doesn't know that. The only one that knows that is us and her.
Right.
Because she told him she wants him to leave.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when her election, with her votes in the election are making her go so far up, it's the only thing that makes sense.
You know what? Actually, because you're talking about the election, at one point, obviously, Moira went to Brother Blood to tell him she was dropping out, which I'm sure he was real ticked when he saw that TV, you know, party, and she did not denounce herself. But anyway, so what I want to say is... Mm-hmm. He had told Moira, you know, you're making the right decision and I'm going to make this city great and whatever. Well, obviously, Moira's gone, so you're the only candidate. What will you do to the city?
What
will you do?
Yeah. And Dan Delby also tweeted at me, and Dan was saying that notice that Central City is where the girl Ollie impregnated was going. Do you think the 7-year-old will initially be on Flash? And I think that we've heard from Kreisberg as well as the rest of the Berlanti team is that they're not going to do that. They know that Arrow is such a hit show and it's doing so well to mix the storylines of Central City is going to Central City with Oliver City with Starling
City.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking so much right now. But Starling and Central City coming together would be something that they would try to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of having like a Kid Arrow in Central City and going through the Flash's pilot episode or even through the first season of the episode would be almost kind of like antagonistic to mm-hmm. watching Arrow. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like are trying to avoid that. So I would hope that they don't do that as well. I think I can see their point and where they're going. And I think we've already seen through Arrow, we've already seen that Central City is going to be a place where superheroes of more like epic powers, superpowers can reside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a show that kind of builds off of that because you obviously have the Flash.
Right.
And you have like, well, the Flash is still like a mutagenic, but or, I mean, like he's still like a mutant, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I shouldn't have said that's X-Men, but he's still there. But I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is my main point is that we know that there can be more of a superhero feeling to Central City versus Starling
right.
City,
right.
which is important.
So the reason I brought up, I know I'm going to backtrack a little bit, but the reason I brought up Sarah and her decision to go find her friend and also to break up with Oliver, which I didn't see coming. You'd mentioned that you had thought that she was going to get killed off the show and that's how mm-hmm. they were going to part ways. But right. really, she broke up with him. So I know all of you know that I'm all about Olicity. I'll be real. I didn't see any romantic sparks this episode, but it does pave the way and make a little bit more room for Oliver to be the scorned lover that falls into her arms. I just unfortunately don't think it'll be anytime soon.
No,
not
yeah.
this season anyway.
I think you're totally off base here. Berlanti has already said, as well as Kreisberg has already made it clear, that the relationship of love is deepest between Oliver and Laurel, and he made that quite clear. So I think it's time for us to get over that Felicity, Olicity,
you know, but sometimes yeah. writers do listen to the fans.
Well, it's
you
not
know, because Felicity was
that...
only a one episode character, yeah. but they liked Emily so much.
Go ahead.
You've stopped, but they kept her on. You know, she wasn't even supposed to be on season 2, and here she is.
Yeah, but here's the thing that you don't realize, but you do know. You
I mean, I know
realize.
They're going to eventually follow yeah. the comic book, but gosh, doggy, you yeah. could give us a little bit of love, right?
Well, they did. They gave you a dance. They gave you a pat on the back and maybe like, you know, like, let's be realistic. Honestly, Oliver had a picture of Laurel that kept him alive and kept him strong when he was on the island.
Which is weird because he was sleeping with Sarah.
Right.
And when he came back and he reunited with Sarah and they have the thing that they had currently,
right.
it made it seem like they've had such a deep connection, especially everything that happened with them on the island,
the
that
reason.
What they have is mm-hmm. so much deeper than what him and Laurel had.
Right.
So how do you go back to Laurel and have this undying, you know,
you
epic love?
Before Oliver can be ready to be in a serious relationship with anybody, he needs to be able to work out the demons that are inside of him after
True.
5 years of misery that he experienced on that island. The reality of the situation is he kept a picture of Laurel in his wallet that when he came back, he made sure to take care of Laurel. He watched out for Laurel. He saved her on several occasions. And the stereotypical storyline would definitely play out to be that his love for Laurel would come back.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but obviously the writers have made it clear. The production studio has made it clear. It's an Oliver and
pish posh.
Yeah,
it'll be
Laurel,
in the future.
Laurel
the very,
situation.
Very, very, very far future. So I think that wraps up for the most part what's happened this episode. We, like I said, tragic, huge episode.
Right.
But I do want to make sure that we get in some news and gossip. So why don't we go ahead and do that?
Right, let's do it.
AfterBuzz TV News.
All right, so in the past, you know, last week I made it all about Roy Harper, Colton Haynes. So this week, Yale's not here. If you notice, both Yale and Kelly are missing. Kelly had to work. Yale is very ill. So if you get a chance, tweet at her. Wish her well. But this is for you, lady. I'm having it all dedicated to Manu Bennett. So while our engineer pulls up some pictures, I do have a little bit of news and gossip. So I'm going to read what I got. Oh.
I hate this guy.
What? I mean, okay, I'll read the news later. Let's look at Manu real quick. I just thought this was a cool picture. This is him getting his grays, because we all know that he doesn't have any gray hairs just yet. Or at least not like that.
You come on the show, I'll put you in a body bag.
What?
I'm sick of this.
Oh, me?
No,
what?
Come on. Are you not? I'm trying to play into what happened in the episode.
Okay, well, anyway, it's him getting his gray hairs
Jeez
painted
Louise.
In. Let's go into the next picture. This one is for Yale. If you are listening to the podcast, you can see this also on YouTube. But it is Manu Bennett in a waterfall, shirtless, staring off into the abyss somewhere.
Oliver's going to drown you in that waterfall.
Yeah, not before Yale gets to him first, right? All right, so let's go to our next picture. This is cool. Okay, so we know that he was in the most recent Hobbit, right? And his, I don't know how to say his character. I haven't seen this movie yet, so I don't know how to say his character's name correctly. I forget what it
say
is.
It.
I don't, honestly,
just
I
get here. Let me see it. I don't know.
But I digress. So yeah. Anyway, the point is, I think it's really cool how they do this, because I knew he was this character and I thought, okay, how is that even possible? Is he just the voice? But you can see he's hooked up to this high tech machine, right? And it's got all these little lasers. I'm assuming that's what that is on his face. So every move he makes with his face, his mouth is captured and put into this character. And that's just really cool to me. So
they're
they're
just like dots they put on. They're like sticky adhesive dots. They're not lasers.
No, I thought it was lit up.
And also they're on his arms, his whole body.
Yeah,
it's like a pinpoint.
Yeah, okay.
It creates like
you're
a pin structure
right
in his face.
Okay. They used to be larger balls,
for
3D, but apparently
yeah
technology has made them a lot smaller.
Well, they're trying to get his voice to match up with his like facial features.
Yes. That's so cool to me though.
That's what his face is going to look like when they're done with him. Starling City. I'm so done with this guy.
All right, so let's move on to... Okay, so...
If only you had known before we watch this episode
what?
How much evil he was going to bring into the
show. I know. Frickin' Manu. And it's not even his fault. It's the writers. So the reason I pulled this one up, it says Florida SuperCon 2014. If you are in Florida, you can see him July 3rd through the 6th at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Now, it's actually, SuperCon is at different locations, so you can look up if you happen to be in one of the cities that it's going to be, but he has been scheduled to go to several different places, so if you're a Manu fan, please, by all means, go online, see if you can get yourself into SuperCon. It'd be quite a great experience. Moving on. Ah, okay, so this I brought up because, as you can see, somebody circled Isabel's name, and she was on the list, and I don't know if we had talked about this in past AfterBuzz episodes. Mm-hmm. Or not, so that's why I wanted to ask you and see if it's something that we had brought up.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know if we brought it up or not, and I don't think we have, but I definitely think we brought up the fact that that Isabel is going to be a new supervillain.
Okay, yeah, she is. She is. We got a lot of tweets about that she's actually going to, I'm sorry, it took me so long to mention. We have a video as well, and if we can have that pulled up, if you need a moment, I can always chatter away. Oh, no. Okay, so let me give you the little intro to what's going on.
Can we save this to next week?
No, listen. So this is an interview now, right? This is an interview with Manu Bennett. Basically, what he's saying before we hit play is that he was in Kuwait doing some training, and he'd learned how to do a proper chokehold from one of the soldiers in Kuwait. Now, he's talking about going into his audition when he first auditioned for Slade Wilson, and one of the things that he decides to do is use his chokehold. So let's take a look and listen.
And so I grabbed this reader in Los Angeles in the casting studio by the neck, and I started squeezing, and I went, "You got 10 seconds to tell me something before I cut out your throat box." And his eyes rolled back, and he fell unconscious on the floor. I got the role, choking out the reader. Legit.
And then Stephen Amell interjects real quickly. I want to... Yeah.
I said, I'm sorry. And the casting director told the guy to go into the bathroom and wash his face. And I went, "I'm sorry." He said, "No, it was perfect."
So that's,
you know, it's funny because that's the scene.
I thought it was really funny because he literally put somebody unconscious and he booked the role and... You know, I don't know, I just thought it was really funny. Anyway, okay, so my last bit of news that I wanted to say, if I have this correct. Okay, so it talks about what's happening in the future, and this is a quote that I was reading off live from Andrew Kreisberg. So he says, Oliver and Slade's ultimate showdown will be a three-part affair starting April 30th on that episode, and the final hour will take place in a 24-style real-time with Roy more dangerous than ever and Laurel in the know about Oliver's secret. The Arrow's life is slowly crumbling around him in what executive producer Andrew Kreisberg calls some of the darkest stuff we've ever done. So some familiar faces will be returning for a final fight in Starling City, but what happens in the town is only half of it. There's a couple of massive surprises for the island as well. So just something to look forward to in the future for the next up-and-coming episodes, because we are winding down, which is so sad, but I'm really excited that we at least have a season three to come back to.
Right.
So really quick, also, I want to take a moment. I want to give a shout-out to somebody, because there's a very kind lady over at EcoSkin who gave me this wonderful dress. You guys know, if you've heard me talk about before, I'm super eco-conscious, and I'm into the vegan thing. And this dress is really cool because it's actually made out of a material that's made from wood, and it uses less water than it takes to produce cotton. So if you guys are eco-friendly and you love fashionable stuff, please go online to ecoskin.com, and you can get a fabulous dress or even more online. Now, we can go into
predictions.
Wait, what?
What are you talking? Let me get my own thoughts out
here.
Oh,
sorry. I'm so greedy. Ridiculous. But I haven't gotten to predictions. You're giving me news?
No, yeah. I got news.
Oh, sorry. I'm such a hog with the camera. I'm so sorry.
I'm used to it. It's not a big deal.
Well, step with it. Come on.
So I was going to say, so I will tell you that a couple things that I've read online. After I watched the episode, I went ahead and I started reading some things from a couple blogs that I look at. And it has been said by Kreisberg that absolutely – that a lot of things happening right now are setting up for a season three. They're setting up for Theo to be a little bit more powerful and a more stronger individual in season three. They're setting up for the idea that for the Arrow, for the last three episodes of this season, something really big is going to happen, something super unique. It's going to be like, they wanted to see how low they could take Arrow and see how low they could take Oliver. And they literally thought of everything they could do to ruin his life as much as possible. And this is what they came up with. So with that being said, I think it's really important for us to just say that season three is something to look at. And he also said that if you notice at the end of season one, they had people dying. And at the end of season two, they had people dying. And the idea is to try to move forward and have a totally revamped new perspective for season three that isn't similar to season two.
So no more dying?
No, well, I think what he's trying to say is that the same way with season one was a very specific way, season two took a very different turn from that. And I think they want to see season three take a turn in the sense where each season is very individualistic, so that way we don't have the monotony of continuous seasons that are the exact same thing. And especially with people dying, it allows you to open up that way of doing that. So that was a big thing for me. And if you guys want to see or read the interview that was done with them, or the article that was done on it, you can go to insidetv.ew.com for entertainment weekly news, and it contains spoilers, but other than that, I mean, I don't think you'll mind that much, but it has quite a bit of information about what Kreisberg was saying about Oliver's baby, killing Moira, and a lot of other information that you could find very helpful. The car crash, what's next for Roy, the financial problems with the Queen. It literally goes through so many different aspects of what's going on. It talks about what Kreisberg, as well as different people at Berlanti Productions, is talking about. And there's a couple articles in there that you can probably click that give you a little bit more information, too. So that's basically the only news and gossip that I had.
Cool. Well, why don't we move on to some predictions?
Let's do it.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, so we saw what was happening in that little... They give us those little synopsises at the very end, those montages, and we saw an army full of Deathstrokes. So, I mean, I knew there was... They had to go somewhere, right? They didn't just disappear into nothingness. Right. But I wasn't sure if they were able to get enough blood to become these super soldiers. Obviously, they do when they're going to run amok. So there's going to be a huge, catastrophic, like, full-on fight.
Right.
I think that in my prediction. I think Sarah will come back for that because she did go to see a friend. Now, she can bring the League of Assassins. Not that they are all for Oliver by any means, but I'm sure they're not all for Slade either.
Right.
So if they could come back and have a huge, epic battle, that would be fantastic. But the other thing that I noticed as well, too, is that Oliver says to somebody, I am the Arrow. Well, we know that Moira knows, which I'm sorry we didn't bring up earlier. I love the fact that she at least knew, she has known, and she said to her son, I couldn't be more prouder of you. And I'm glad that Moira had the opportunity to know that before she left us. Now, the next person he tells, well, we know that Laurel already knows, so I'm going to predict that it's going to be Thea, because at this point, Thea is so upset because of all these secrets to protect her when they're actually hurting her. What do you have to lose? Just tell Thea. I don't know. What do you think is going to happen in this next episode?
I think that in the next three episodes, we're going to see the League of Assassins take a very strong presence, which is terrible in a lot of aspects because the League of Assassins are all about upsetting world order.
Yeah.
They're all about upsetting world order and trying to take everything back to ground zero so it can rise all over again. But once civilization becomes too corrupt. So adding that into the mix of having a three-season finale where we have the League of Assassins getting involved means that, one, we lose Sarah to the League of Assassins. If she goes back there, they're not going to let her go twice.
Right.
They're not just like her buddy-buddy who can she just be friends with and just go and ask for help. So the League of Assassins will come in. We will have Ra's al Ghul making another appearance on the show. It's already
will
Ra's
al Ghul appear?
I mean, I don't know. But I will say we will have Sarah possibly leaving and having to take, you know, small snaps of coming in and out of different seasons. And we'll also have a situation on our hands where if she goes back to the League, she can't leave twice. And we've already had to confirm that Merlin will be coming in for episode 22.
Yeah.
So those things being confirmed, we know that Oliver does have help on the way. Mm-hmm. And that we do know that Slade will suffer. And I ultimately think Slade will die at the end of the season. I can't imagine Oliver or anybody else giving him a break.
I think it would be a temporary alliance. And at that point, the one thing about League of Assassins, they may be amazing fighters, but they are not super soldiers. So it's
The League of Assassins are basically the most powerful fighting force.
Correct, but they are still human. And this team of people that Deathstroke are superhuman, superhuman strong. But if there could be a big battle and the League of Assassins outwits them and can take them out, then Oliver might have a chance. Not to say it won't be challenging, human.
Yeah, but the League of Assassins is not just like a bunch of ninjas and stuff like that. There's like people in the League that are so... I mean, I think you're going to realize that there's people in the League, even Ra's al Ghul himself, that are far superior to a super soldier. They have They have their own set of qualities. And I don't want to forget that.
Yeah, I think I'm just thinking of the fact that, you know, not that Roy was bulletproof, but... you know, you can shoot arrows at him and it doesn't matter. You can shoot arrows at Slade and he's like, meh, okay, I'm cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's just my thought. Anyway, that for me is my prediction for next episode. Are you good on predictions?
Yeah, definitely.
All right, so that looks like it wraps up our show for this evening. So thank you so much for joining us again. We look forward to talking to you next week. But until then, you can keep the conversation going by following me at Kiss My Passport. You can also find me on AllieConaBradford.wix, which is wix.com/television host. You can follow Mike here.
Yeah, my friends call me Mowgli. You can follow me at facebook.com/M. Mowgli, MMOWGALI, and you can also follow me at twitter.com/MMowgli as well. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.